So good afternoon, everybody. This is Christian Teig on the line, on the conference call. Welcome you to a short update on the last acquisition in CompuGroup, the acquisition of Lauer Fischer. Today we will briefly go through this, ending up in a Q&A session. I expect the presentation, which is only a few pages, to last 5, maybe 10 minutes. And again, then we will go into a normal Q&A session. There is a presentation that has been put up on the website, and hopefully you have downloaded this and have it in front of you. We can turn to the first page, numbered page 2 of the presentation, which gives the basic information about the company we have acquired. So this is one of the long-standing vendors of software to pharmacies in Germany. It is essentially a software company with the normal related services, and I would say also having an extensive knowledge base in the form of drug database and other services provided to the pharmacy clients. Customers is about 4,000 pharmacies. We'll get into that a little bit later, what that represents in Germany. 470 employees with a headquarter in Fifth and 17 branch offices. In terms of financials, you see this on the right side of the slide. This is today a business with revenue of approximately 50 million euros per year, of which about 60%, a little bit more, is recurring revenue, predominantly software maintenance, and currently then with an EBITDA, or historically, of about 10 million per annum. It's been a relatively stable business, although with some growth displayed from 09 to 10, which is predominantly made up of a technology upgrade path that will go on for the next years to move existing clients just technically to a new platform. We should then move on to page 3, a little bit about, I guess, pharmacy markets, and for us as a software vendor, we think of it as a software market. In terms of customers, it's relatively stable. Number of pharmacies are around 21,000 plus in Germany. However, we do see this as one of the areas in healthcare which will display growth, both in terms of overall socio-demographic developments and healthcare inflation, and also an area which is increasing in importance, especially in Germany, as we know that more decision power and more influence on care provision has been moved out to the dispensing point of care, and this is driven by the structures of German healthcare and how health insurance companies have negotiated rebate contracts on drugs that have been left onto the dispensing stage to execute. And we also see that as service providers to nursing homes, home care, again, that the importance of the pharmacies is definitely increasing. And again, as such, we see this as a growing market within healthcare. Page 4, a little bit about what Lauer Fischer does in terms of products. So the bulk and I guess the foundation of the business in CompuGroup terms is an HPS business. They provide a universal software solution that supports everything that goes on in a pharmacy. This, of course, given the given the logistics side of this. It has everything in terms of stock management and controlling of that, up until very advanced decision support and dispensing support for the pharmacists who are managing the patients as they come in to pick up and order their medication. On top of this, so this is all the WinApo application, which is a Microsoft Windows application, and the 64 that is listed here is then the newest version of it, and is the technological platform that is being rolled out to all clients. Then we have a drug database, the Lauer-Taxe, which is very much equivalent or similar to what we run in CompuGroup in Germany as our EFAP database. And again, other support services to the pharmacy clients. So Lauer Fischer is essentially a one-stop shopping product and service provider on the IT side to pharmacies in Germany. If we move then to page 5, how do we now square up in the overall market? We are essentially or approximately a 20% market shareholder. There are three other companies that are of, say, similar size. The Avinta merger that was happened 2 years ago being slightly larger, 27%. Then we have Pharmatechnique and ADG, approximately of the same size now as CGM. We believe Lauer Fischer is an innovator in the market, certainly has very strong products, very high customer satisfaction, and enjoys a very high standing in the market, and certainly has been an innovator and has identified changes and developments in the business and have developed products and services to cater to that. Then on the next page, page 6, which is the last one in terms of the information, some of the transaction details. So we have acquired 75%, which is a majority ownership and a complete controlling ownership. The previous shareholder still retains the 25%, but there are put and call options for this remaining stake. I think it's fair to say that we expect our stake to move to 100% in the years ahead, but we're happy to have a minority shareholder along with us and that we can work together with them to further develop the business. We paid in cash $52.5 million for the 75%, which has been fully funded, I guess, from the existing credit facility or the cash at hand that we have. Closing date was yesterday, fully. We have taken over the full control of the business as of yesterday, which means that the balance sheet and the preliminary PPA will all be included in the group balance sheet for the second quarter, whereas the P&L consolidation begins then 1st of July, so it will be fully consolidated beginning in the third quarter. Something to note and important is that this has been a very long process. From my personal side, it started long before I joined CompuGroup. Process has been on and off. CompuGroup has long wanted, especially given the industry developments, to get a strong position on the pharmacy side. In some sense, it represents the final missing link in our complete coverage of healthcare. So it's been on and off with multiple advisors and mandates, and the consequence of that, something that we just had to accept, is that there will be a significant transaction expense. It will be paid in these days and charged to the group P&L in the second quarter, all totaling 5 million euros. Again, it's a high amount. We are aware of this, but that was needed to get the deal done. And I think given our patience and diligence in moving into this space, we can reassure you that this was what was needed to get the deal done. And again, it's for us something that we now take as a charge in the second quarter. And then we can move on beginning third quarter with the full positive effects of the company in our group P&L. So this was the review. We will now open up for the Q&A session. It is the normal procedure. Then for those of you who have questions on this, you can hit star one, and then we will start to answer them. So we now have a few questions online. We will start with the first one.
Hi, Christian. Once you have Laura Fisher for, you know, a year or two, are you guys going to be able to cut any costs? I mean, are the margins going to kind of stay in that 20% range once it's folded in, or are there synergies that you can realize over the next year or two?
We certainly see synergies on this. This is a large transaction in the market where we are the strongest and have the broadest presence. We have about 1,100 employees in Germany today. And especially, I guess, on our HIS business, we have branches and offices on different locations in Germany that to a large extent overlapped with the 17 branch offices in Laura Fisher. This is clearly a potential for us to increase efficiency and coverage in terms of presence in Germany. And we are already at the outset moving the general and administration and some logistics operations to our corporate center in Koblenz. So on the cost side, we certainly will start working together on a clear plan with the management to take out the opportunities on the cost side. And this should over time certainly give basis for margin improvements. There are also revenue synergies that we see. They are certainly we see the opportunity for an Intermedics-Geschäft, Intermedics business. This is something that does not exist today. So I guess we should be somewhat careful in quantifying that, but certainly there is great excitement and plans, and we see that many of the services that we offer through our platform on the office-based doctor side are equally relevant and useful for pharmacies. So that's one area that we see certainly revenue synergies. We are
so
bold enough.
You think that you'll be able to drive more connection between doctors and pharmacies?
Yes. Certainly, I mean, so if you look into everything that we do in HCS is in principle relevant also through the pharmacy platform. Again, we have to note that we would be an innovator there, but we have also been an innovator in HCS services on the AIS platform. So this is clearly part of our business development plan and something that, you know, on a very positive note, we think we can bring into the business. We are bold enough to think that we can use the leadership on products and service to maybe drive even a stronger sales culture and by that nature also be more of a catalyst to just gradually increase also underlying number of customers. So that's, and we think it's positive that we come in with our clear profile and business culture as a software and technology provider into this space, and by that nature, again, be a positive catalyst and create a positive sentiment, say, on the market side for growth. And then finally, there are some developments that we have long wanted to implement, again, on value-added products and services that are, say, all linked to our current position, especially on the AIS side, again, which should enable us to drive also revenue growth stronger on this business. So okay. Synergies are needed for us to create the good returns on this investment, and they are certainly part of our planning.
On the cost, do you care to quantify the cost savings that you think might be there?
I would like to be slightly careful, but one way to answer that is to say that it's today, say, on the operating margin, roughly a 20% margin business, and we see no reason that we could not, over time, through these, say, costs/efficiency synergies, and taking some of that out on revenue into the existing cost base, move this into a 30% margin business. This we see as absolutely doable.
Great. Thanks a lot, Christian.
Thank you.
Hi, Christian. Yes. Good afternoon. It's Gunnar Kurs here from Bloomberg.
Yeah, hey, Gunnar.
Unfortunately, I don't have access to your presentation. I already also hear from clients there are some problems to download the presentation. But I have also a few questions. It's in terms of what are your current cost of debt? Then secondly, given the structure of the market as you described it, in terms of you have other major player here in the segment, is there any potential for you also to further grow in terms of customers, or do you think the market is pretty much consolidated? And then the cost for the remaining part of the business, so the 25%, could we assume this is basically the same multiples you paid now for the majority? And then finally, just to clarify, the transaction cost you mentioned in the amount of some 5 million, this is not included in the stated acquisition price of 52 million, right?
Yeah, so let's start with the last one. Correct. This is not, so you could add that to the 52.5. Cost for the remaining part. On our side, it's for a fixed price. We could, after a certain period, we can call the remaining part for a fixed price totaling 20 million euros.
Okay.
Yeah. Growth of customers. Certainly, if we are to grow customers, it would predominantly be by gradually taking some market share, although we might see some underlying growth in the pharmacy market in general, but this is related to the statement I made on the last caller that this is, growing number of customers would imply gradually taking market share from the other players, and probably then maybe not from the other three large dominant players, but from the say other part of the slice. The cost of debt. Well, before this transaction, we're based on a margin grid which is related to leverage. So currently it's Euribor plus 225 basis points. And now that we would, at least for a period, be above 2.5 but less 3 in terms of leverage, we would move that up to 275 plus Euribor. But as soon as we...
So it would be then 3. So 3.0 would be then LIBOR plus 300 basis points.
I guess Euribor today, it's the 3-month Euribor.
Yeah.
So this is about 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
So if we then say 275, it would be roughly 5%.
At 275, all right, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you mentioned that you already worked on this acquisition for a long time. Does it change any of your plans in the U.S.? In terms of, obviously, you would also continue to acquire, but obviously now you have spent another $60 million in Germany, or does it really not change anything in the U.S. for you?
No change.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, next caller.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research. I have a couple of questions. Regarding the development of the market itself, as far as I know, pharmacies are allowed to have two branches in the future, and it looks like pharmacists are taking advantage of this possibility. So how does this affect your light, or might affect the company's license sales against this backdrop and against the backdrop of franchise pharmacies entering the market like Doc Morris, etc. Second question is, could you give us some ideas of products that you could offer over the pharmacist software? Because I think it will be difficult to sell products in the area of communication and data. Maybe it's more in the area of workflow and decision support, maybe just to make sure that there are no unwanted drug interferences and things like this. But I think similar solutions are already implemented. Next question would refer to the drug database. Has Lauer been purchasing this drug database from third parties, or was it developed by themselves, or was it given to them for, let's say, a low amount by some advertising companies? I think Intermedix was doing things like this as well. So maybe you could give us a feeling of which cost savings potentials here could be. Thank you.
So first of all, the growing number of branches, and this is, again, we see the pharmacy side as a growing market. This is part of it, and these developments can only be positive in terms of our ability to deploy licenses and grow, say, the platform of the business in terms of number of licenses and users. So this is positive. On the product side, you say that it might be difficult on communication and data. I would still say that we have a great excitement on our people, say, on the communication and data side, and then they see it perhaps slightly differently. Again, let's just all agree that this is unproven as of today and not tested, but we will certainly together with the management and the organization put them to a test and maybe come back with more specific results from this as we go along. Certainly on the workflow and decision support, again, as more and more of or as more decision power has been given out, certainly decision support should be relevant at this point of dispensing as it is in the point of care in the doctor's offices. We also see, I guess, more bricks and mortar opportunities. Certainly the hosting and software as a service, just offering that as we do to our existing provider customers as a growth area that we could drive perhaps with more focus, more strongly in this market. We see the whole, say, telematic infrastructure and connections to, we have the perpetual Gesundheitskarte and maybe not just the card, but the inclusion of pharmacies in the telematic infrastructure of Germany, again, as something that is very similar to the challenges that we work on the provider side. So Yeah, I mean, we have a list of initiatives, but as with, I guess, all such revenue synergies, we have to put them to a test. You know, we have to put the plans behind them, be realistic when it comes to what is applicable or not. But certainly at the outset, there are many areas that are very much similar to what we are currently working on the provider side. Your last question, drug database. It's an in-house development. I think it serves a slightly different purpose than our EFAP database that is given to the providers, but certainly the knowledge base behind it is very much the same, and we should certainly be able to have these two parts of our organization work closer together and get benefit from that.
Okay. Just one last question, if I may. You spoke about growth from 09 to 2010 due to technology upgrades. Which technology upgrade was it? Was it the launch of a new product? Was it
It was really just, it's from a 32-bit Windows platform to a 64-bit. Very technical. So it's not,
okay.
I think seen from the customer side, it's not a huge, you know, from the use, the product remains the same, it's just a more robust technical platform.
Okay. And given the 17 branches that Laua has, it is probably direct sales that they have.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Good, then thank you, Andreas. Next call.
Christian, hi, it's Christian McCall. I have a couple questions on the business and then a couple questions on the deal structure. So the business grew 5.7% in 2010, and that was mostly due to these technical upgrades, as I understood it. So could you just share what percent of the customer base adopted or upgraded in 2010 and what's remaining, and I guess related to that, what the expectation is for what percent will migrate to the 64-bit this year and next? And then also, if you could just comment on the underlying organic growth rate of the business outside of this technical upgrade.
The percentage number, unfortunately, I don't have in front of me. But it's something that will go on. It was a 2 or 3 year migration program, so that would imply maybe 1/3 have gone over. And again, I wouldn't say it's non-optional, sounds very forced, but it's just a natural step up on the backbone of the product that creates some, say, revenue opportunities also for us that will be there this year and next year, and then they're all onto the 64-bit platform. Most of the growth, and you can see that from the historical, now comes from this effect. Company hasn't been managed very aggressively for growth. So I think, you know, the underlying organic growth rate other than that has been low, you know, low single digit.
Okay. I mean, so you've seen the financials obviously through the first half of this year. Will it continue to grow, you know, 5 to 7% going through this upgrade cycle, you know, in this year and next? And then it's a question of, you know, what the underlying growth rate is, of the business just naturally after that?
Yes.
I'm just trying to understand, is this a 1 to 2% growth business, or, I mean, you have this, the sort of idiosyncratic growth period due to the technical upgrade. So how much does it grow this year and next? And then what's sort of the sustainable growth rate of the business going forward, you know, out before you have these other sort of revenue synergy opportunities?
Yeah. Well, I think any business we own, we will aim to drive, as we always say, low teens, low double-digit growth. You know, certainly there's work to do to bring this business up to that. And I guess it remains to be proven, but we certainly see no reason why we could not achieve this also with this business. Probably if you look onto the underlying market, there is even a stronger basis here than in some of our other areas, where we still are able to get these kind of growth rates. But this is then part of the contribution that we can bring to the business.
Okay. Now, on the deal structure, I'm confused. So my understanding is this was funded out of cash, so the financing cost of the deal is really only the change in the rate on the existing debt because your leverage ratios are temporarily increasing and therefore you're going to a higher spread over your IBOR. Is that
right? this is correct, and I guess as you might remember, at the end of Q1, we had an abnormal cash balance, something like 95 million euros. But this was all related to just the sequence of events in the syndication process of the new credit facility. So, I mean, in the meantime, we've repaid all of that and kind of because we have a revolving credit facility, which can be taken up and down. So I guess it's just,
When I started thinking about just the economics on the deal, so this is really being funded out of there'll be normalized borrowing costs on the 52.5 million.
Yeah, because we never at any given moment we try to run our business with zero cash in the bank, and so again very special and just transitional cash balance that we held at the end of the Q1. But now that all of that has been unwrapped, it's just a normal borrowing cost for this.
And what's the expected future tax deductible total depreciation and amortization charge? And then also, can you comment on the CapEx and capitalized software needs for the business? Basically, I'm just trying to understand the free cash flow.
Yeah. So the PPA is done very provisionally. We would probably on an annual basis expect amortization somewhere around 4 million euros per year. But take that really as a very preliminary figure. And business does not capitalize any software, any R&D. And probably we do not expect to do that in the future either.
Okay, so then is it fair to assume that the after-tax net income should approximate the free cash flow of the business?
Yes.
And then just last question on the transaction expenses, which were, almost basically 10% of the deal costs, and that doesn't include any sort of integration or integration charges related to, cost reduction programs. Why were these so high? I mean, were those just paid, those were advisor fees, or was there something else in there?
Yes, and to make a very long story short, we essentially had to pay it twice because of historical reasons.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, next caller.
Hello, all of my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next call. Hello? Okay. We will then move on to the next caller.
Hi, Christian. It's Boris of Armor Capital.
Hi, Boris.
Just a very quick follow-up question on the capital expenditure profile of the business, because the D&A pre-transaction seems kind of high for this type of business, 4 million plus, which consumes, more than half of EBITDA or about half of EBITDA. So does this mean that on a sort of steady state basis, Lauer spends over 4 million euros on capital spending?
Yeah, you could take, this is an important point. So of the 4 million, about 2.5 or maybe even, about 2.5 are related to equipment rentals. Essentially server rentals that are currently kept on the balance sheet and appreciated on this line. So that is, say, a cash relevant depreciation of about $2.5 million.
Okay, and the expectation is you'll continue this program going forward?
At the outset, yes.
Okay, and so with the continual provision of these servers to customers, probably $4 million is a reasonable figure for annual outlays.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one other quick question: the income from associated companies of $700,000, is it something that one could expect to recur, or it doesn't seem like it was very regular in the past?
No, you can take that out.
Okay. And from a tax standpoint, we should assume that this will be taxed as a German business. You know, there's no NOL or any kind of tax issues that we should be aware of.
No, as you say, a very, you know, inside the very regular German tax regime.
Understood. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf again. I have just one additional question. It's referring to Lauer's sister company's business activities. I saw there is a certain business activity that is owned by RRZ in the field of reimbursement of the prescription by pharmacies. Maybe you could give us a hint how much this is reflected in the cost base of Flower at present time, and whether there is any relevance for Flower at all from this business. Thank you.
There is no. They are completely separate, and there is no, say, link or relevance.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello, Christian.
Hi.
Hi, it's Toby from HSBC.
Hey,
I have two follow-up. The one is, you said that the potential margin of the business is 30%. On what time horizon do you expect it to drive the business to 30% margin?
Well, we have a plan for this, and of course, you know, it's tempting to push that question out, you know, a few months before we go on record. But I would say that if we do things right and we work well, I think certainly when we get and we do all of this in the next 12 to 18 months. In my opinion, we should be there.
Okay, thank you. And the next one is on underlying business and price increases. Have Lauer Fischer done regularly price increases concerning their software, or have they missed it as Convic Group 10 years in the past?
They've done some. I think they would, you know, we would put them on a normal path, which is, you know, the normal gradual pricing, somewhat linked to our service provision as well. So I think they haven't been particularly aggressive, but they've done, you know, the normal indexing over the years.
Okay. And concerning your price increases, was this all done by the four larger players, or was there an early mover and are they ever followed, or what was the strategy in the past?
No, I mean, this has been a very stable business and very unified business, so I think everyone has, and there haven't been any, say, disruptions or more significant initiatives into this by either any of the players. I mean, when we, I guess we don't call them the coffee club, but sometimes we do it. You know, it's a little bit as we know it from from our AIS side that yes, we are competing cutthroat when it comes down on the street, but in general, we're all part of the same industry, and in some sense, we follow a little bit of the same natural rhythm and progression. So, and this we expect to continue.
Okay. And then the last one, I missed the recurring sales share of this business. Was it 60 or 70?
60.
60. Okay, thank you.
That concludes the questions that were flagged. So then I thank everybody for today's participation and wish you all a terrific Midsummer Night's Eve tonight. Thank you and goodbye.